dedicated to Jesus. Let's say that together. Dedicated to Jesus. With the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season squarely upon us, anybody hustling and bustling yet in the Christmas season? Or have you stopped hustling and bustling? Is the hustle bustle over? Are you kind of settling in now? But certainly the Christmas season as we know it culturally can create some hustle and bustle in our lives, and it can be squarely upon us. And it's easy, I believe, and maybe you would agree with me, to get taken up with all the various holiday traditions and all the cultural characteristics of Christmas. So much so that we can lose our focus on the real reason for the season. Amen?
Amen.
The real reason for the season. Let's say that together. The real reason for the season. Now this sounds very simple and elementary. But the first six letters of Christmas are C-H-R-I-S-T. C-H-R-I-S-T. And so without Jesus Christ, catch this now, without the historical man of Jesus Christ, even if you want to say spiritual and religious things aside, without the historical man of Jesus Christ, there would be no such holiday as Christmas. Amen? Just think about that for a minute. The primary focus of Christmas, catch this now, is to celebrate the historical and biblical fact that God the Father caused His Son Jesus Christ to be conceived into this world by the power of the Holy Spirit through a virgin woman who would give birth to the Savior of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Providing an opportunity for anyone who would repentantly dedicate their lives to Him and His kingdom purposes so that they would have life more abundantly now in this life and eternally in the life to come. Amen? Anybody here with me up for some abundance in their life? Can anybody lift a hand and say yes?
Amen.
Well, Jesus promised that in the Gospels. He said, Satan has come to rob and destroy and steal, but I have come that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly in this life. Amen. You don't have to wait to go to heaven to have an abundant life in Christ now. Amen.
Amen.
Has anybody here experienced some of that yet since you've come to Christ? Anybody other than me? It takes a shift in your perspective, though. Amen. What was your definition of an abundant life before you came to Christ? I know I had a definition of what an abundant life was before I came to Christ. And since I've come to Christ, I've thrown that notebook out. Amen?
Amen.
I had a three-ring binder that said, this is what my definition of an abundant life is. And once I came to Christ, I said, oh, this is not the definition of an abundant life. Amen? And so our primary focus of Christmas is to celebrate the fact that God has provided anyone with an opportunity, if they would repentantly dedicate their lives to Him and His kingdom purposes, that indeed you would experience progressively in process of your life, a more abundant life in this life and eternal life in the life to come. Amen. The Apostle Peter exhorted believers in his time, and God by His Spirit is stirring us up afresh today from 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, make a note of it. And He decreed to believers then, and God by His Word and by His Spirit is decreeing to each and every one of you today who call yourselves by Jesus' name and you're purposing to walk in Jesus' ways in every area of your lives. You believers are like living stones. You are being built up into a spiritual house. How many of you here recognize afresh today that the church is the people? Amen? And God is building up His church. He's building up His people. Amen. To be living stones. It's figurative. But there's a spiritual reality to it on earth as it is in heaven. He's building you up. Catch this now. The Amplified Version says it like this. He's building you up to be holy and dedicated to His purposes. Amen? You're a living stone. Part of what God is building up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated purpose. Not just for any old purpose. Not just for your own self-stylized purpose. Not just for some acculturated purpose. But for a holy and dedicated purpose, appointed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and the perfect will that God has for your life. Amen?
Amen?
And so you are to offer yourselves up as spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. Amen? How do you start each day? I discipline myself to start each day. Once I open my eyes and realize that I've come into the conscious realm again, that God has given me another day to keep sucking breath here on this earth. Amen? And once I come to that natural realization, I get down on my knees and I say, Lord God Almighty, thank You for another day. And I offer myself up to You today to be a living sacrifice for Your glory. Amen?
Amen?
And then God, by His Spirit, leads me through the rest of my devotion and prayer time. Amen? I'm not saying you got to do it the way that I do it. Okay? Let's not get religious about how we're going to approach God in our prayers. Amen? Let's incline ourselves to the Spirit and to the Word of God. Amen? And let's do what the Word of God says and what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Amen? Can anybody else say amen?
Amen.
Let's recognize really who we are and who God's making us to be. Spiritual sacrifices, pleasing and acceptable to Him in all that we would think and say and do, and all of our motives and expectations and appetites and attitudes and drives and desires, without mixture. Without mixture. Amen?
Amen.
It's a lot of mixtures going on in the church. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is saying, no more mixtures. No more acculturation in your lives. Amen?
Amen?
Pure and holy and dedicated living sacrifices before the throne of God. Amen? Advancing Jesus' kingdom. Advancing Jesus' kingdom. Amen? How dedicated are we to advancing Jesus' kingdom? Amen? Wherever we are, wherever we go, whoever we're with, whoever we touch, amen? There's ministry to do wherever you are, amen? In the midst of wherever you are, there are souls in the balance, amen? Whether it's at Starbucks or in the post office or at the grocery store, lift your eyes and see that the harvest fields are white unto harvest, amen? And it's through you that the power of God is going to come in to people's lives, amen?
Amen.
Just the way that Jesus did all of His ministry in the marketplace. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, He did some ministry in the temple. One time throwing some tables over and setting some of the church leaders straight about how they were doing church. But 99.9% of Jesus' ministry was in the marketplace. Amen? And that's what God is calling each of us to. Call ourselves by Jesus' name, a purpose to walk in His ways. Incline yourself, incline yourself, incline yourself to the Spirit right where you are. Amen? And even if the Spirit of God doesn't direct you to say or do anything, then pray in the Spirit. Amen? God doesn't even have to bring those people to you. All you need to do is walk into the post office and stand in line, or walk into the DMV. That'll make your DMV time more productive, amen? Anybody like me ever feel like you're wasting time in the DMV? Anybody lift an honest hand and say? But when you have a kingdom perspective, there's no wasting of time. Amen?
Amen.
We have an eternity of time coming towards us, amen? We're moving through an eternity of time, amen? And when you're inclining yourself to be a living sacrifice, when you're inclining yourself to be truly dedicated to Jesus, wherever you are, wherever you go, you're going to stand there wherever you are and say, I'm a son or daughter of the living God. And I have the Spirit of God in me. And even if God doesn't lead you to say or do anything in the midst, pray. Pray. There's no formula for prayer. Just pray for the people that are right there. Amen? Decree the promises of God over them. Amen? Souls are in the balance. Amen? And you're right there in the midst. Amen? It takes a perspective shift to see that we're all called to full-time ministry. Amen? Every born-again believer is called to full-time ministry wherever you are. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, amen? And sometimes in the church we've gotten this idea, oh, that the pastors are in full-time ministry and the worship team and who's on staff and all this nonsense that's hindering Jesus' kingdom advancement through the people of God, amen? Each and every one of you is in full-time ministry because you're a born-again believer first, amen? You're a kingdom worker first. Who happens to be an architect, who happens to be an engineer. When I was a chiropractor in my previous life, before I was a pastor, before I was born again, I was a chiropractor. But then when I gave my life to Christ, I was a born again believer first, amen, who happens to be a chiropractor. And now I'm a born again believer who happens to be a pastor, amen. And it's the same for all of us. First and foremost, we're born again believers, inclining ourselves to do Jesus' kingdom work full time wherever we are, wherever we go. Amen? The Spirit of God is refocusing each of us afresh today. I believe that our celebration of Christmas should be a tribute of joyful gratitude to God the Father for providing us with this once and for all time opportunity to be wholly dedicated to Jesus' kingdom purposes with a single-minded commitment, a single-minded commitment to honor Him with the life that He directs us to live. Amen?
Amen.
At the standard of His Word in the Bible. Are you pressing into the Word every day? Or are you just looking into everybody else's opinion about what the Word says? Press into the Word. You have the Holy Spirit in you. There should be a time each day when you're pressing into the Bible and asking the Holy Spirit to give you revelation knowledge about what you're reading. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into the realities of the heavenly realm as to what God has in mind for you in your life through the Word of God. Amen. I'm not saying that you can't look into other commentaries. Certainly there can be value in that. But everybody's got an opinion, don't they?
Amen.
How many commentaries are there out there in the name of Jesus? Has anybody ever noticed this other than me? And I've read a few of them. And I've read a few books in my day. You want to know what it comes down to? Know God's Word and obey His will. Amen. Do His will and obey His Word. Amen. God, by His Spirit, is refocusing us afresh today to incline ourselves to the working and the leadings of His Holy Spirit in us and through us along the way. The Spirit of God is stirring afresh today to hone in our perspective of the Christmas holiday. That the essence of celebrating Christmas is a Christ-centered life. Amen? A life that is lived with a wholehearted determination to be conformed into the likeness of Christ. So that the life that we now live would reflect the life of Christ living through us. Be motivated afresh today, saints of God. That our motivation for being dedicated to Jesus should flow out of our understanding and appreciation for what He did for us. Amen? For what He's already done for us. Amen?
Amen.
He died in our place. Oh, we say that so easily now. Oh yeah, Jesus died in my place. But let that sink in afresh today for a minute. Jesus died in your place. He took the penalty for your sin upon Himself. And God the Father sent Jesus on what we call Christmas Day to do that for you. Amen? And the essence of celebrating Christmas is a Christ-centered life motivated to be dedicated to Jesus out of a deeper understanding and appreciation for what He already did for us. So that we can have eternal life. Amen? He took the pain and agony and suffering and the death that you should have because of your own sins. He took it upon Himself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you get to have eternal life as a free gift as a result. Amen.
Amen.
But the reception of that gift is conditioned upon our repentance.
That's right.
Or upon us admitting that we're sinners.
Amen.
And repenting, the Greek root word for repentance is metanoia. It means to have a change of mind. I'm going to have a change of mind. I'm going to do a 180 away from the life that I was living in. And I'm going to turn 180 degrees toward what Jesus has in mind for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's what repentance is. Repentance is different than remorse. Or just feeling sorry that you got caught. Make no mistake about it, at the core of every human decision is a motivation. What's motivating you? What is it that motivates you to say and do what you're saying and doing? Holy Spirit, come and search our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and search the motivation of our hearts in this place. Holy Spirit, come and purify the motivation of our hearts for what we think and say and do. And cause the motivation of our heart to be in alignment, Lord God Almighty, with what You have in mind for us. Some people are motivated by the self-satisfaction that the quest for pleasure and material gain would bring them. I was there for a number of years of my own life before I came to Christ. I was motivated by success, as the world determined success to be. Professional success, material gain, financial gain. And I spent many years of my life in the quest for pleasure, material gain, for the self-satisfaction that that would bring me. And at best it was fleeting. And nothing was ever enough. Some people spend their entire lives dedicated to the self-satisfactions of a successful career or some other worldly pursuits. But the risk that people run is that whatever we center our lives around can become our God. Now, most people in our culture wouldn't characterize themselves as idolaters. Most people in our culture would not say, I worship idols, because they have a certain picture of what that is. But whatever you center your life around can become an idol in your life. It can become your God. And make no mistake about it, our pursuits in this life apart from Christ become idols of obsession that provide no lasting satisfaction. Oh, there's some satisfaction along the way, fleeting as it is.
Right.
It always leaves you hollow.
That's right.
The Apostle Paul exhorted believers in the church at Thessalonica, and God by His Spirit is stirring us up afresh today, I believe, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. Make a note of it. For God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness The Spirit of God is moving in our midst to ask this question: how holy is holy enough? How pure is pure enough? Has anybody here ever scooped water out of a flush toilet? Anybody here? Nobody's ever done that, have they? I did this as an object lesson for my kids when they were growing up. I scooped a clear glass of water out of a flush toilet with a glove on, by the way. Don't get nervous. And I put that glass of water on the counter, and then I took another identical glass and I put it under the tap water that you would drink from, and I put that right next to the glass of toilet water. And I said to my kids when they were little, I said, "Do those glasses of water look any different to you?" "No, they don't," they said. I said, "Well, this one is from the toilet." They're like, "Ooh." I said, "Would you drink from that glass?" "No, I wouldn't." "Well, how about if you just take one sip?" "No, I wouldn't even take one sip." "Well, how about if you let Daddy just put one drop on your tongue a day? Just one drop of toilet water on your tongue a day. How about that?" "Oh, no, we wouldn't do that." "Why?" "Because there's yucky, yucky things in there." "There is? I can't see any yucky things in there." It's clean enough. And God, by His Spirit, is saying, what's pure enough for your life? Have you settled for, "Well, I'm holy enough, I'm pure enough"? God, by His Spirit, is stirring us and urging us to a fresh motivation as God is calling us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. God has not called us to impurity to any degree, that we would be holy as He is holy. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He's calling us to holiness, to be dedicated and set apart by behavior and motivations and expectations and appetites and attitudes and drives and desires that please Him from inside out. Amen? Whether in public or in private. No matter what the season. Amen? If our life is not dedicated to Jesus, then we will end up centering our lives around something else. And whatever we're dedicated to can be identified by how much time, by how much resources, by how much emotional energy we're putting forth. That's easy to identify, really, what's at the center of a person's life, what they're dedicated to. How much time are they spending? How much time are they putting forth for one thing or another? How much resources are they putting forth for one thing or another? How much emotional energy are they putting forth for one thing or another? How excited are they getting about talking about one thing or another? That's how you can get to know what your life is really dedicated to. What we're dedicated to can be identified by the level of passionate commitment it evokes in us. And over time, we begin to resemble, catch this now, over time, we begin to resemble what we've centered our lives around. The way that we think and talk and dream and strategize about our lives will reflect what we're dedicated to. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. Those who are truly dedicated to Jesus will center their lives solely around Him in order to become more like Him. That's the bottom line goal as a believer. If every person could be one with the Father the way that Jesus was one with the Father when He was here in this earth. And by the way, Jesus prayed for us to be one in that way from John chapter 17. And that's part of my prayers every day. Maybe you could make a part of your prayers. Father in heaven, I incline myself in the name of Jesus to be one with You in the manner in which Jesus Christ was one with You when He was here on this earth. There's a prayer. Imagine if every professed believer of Jesus in the church was walking with the Father the way that Jesus did when He was here on this earth. Amen? But that's what God's calling us to. Amen? And we have to purpose to incline ourselves to that. Amen? That's being truly dedicated to Jesus. Centering our lives around Him in order to become more like Him. In order to become as continuously as we can one with the Father. The way that Jesus was one with the Father. When He walked here as a human being on this earth. Amen? Those who are truly dedicated to Jesus talk about Him, think about Him, dream about Him, strategize and prioritize their lives and how they can spend more time with Him. Amen? How many of you recognize that you have an endless amount of time coming towards you? Amen? Sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't have enough time for this or I don't have enough time for that. It comes down to how you're prioritizing your time. Amen? And when your life is dedicated to Jesus and when your life is centered around Jesus, you're always going to have enough time to do what He's calling you to do. Amen? And so if you feel like you're not having enough time to do what you think you have to do, then maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit if maybe you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Amen? Because God is always going to give you enough time to do what He's calling you to do. Amen? Boy, I'm challenged by that. How about you? God, by His Spirit, is stirring us to progressively choose to obey His commands and His directives out of love and honor for our Savior and Lord. Amen? Not out of compulsion or some type of legalism. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Do you love what He did for you? Are you really honoring what He did for you? And if so, you're going to be motivated to progressively obey His Word and to progressively obey His directives and to progressively incline yourself to the leading of His Spirit. Amen? The greatest desire of one who is truly dedicated to Jesus is to grow and develop to be more like Him so that our lives would echo the words of the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him experientially. The Greek root word there is ginoskos, which means experiential knowledge, different from just head knowledge or theological knowledge or religious knowledge. But I may come to ginoskos Jesus. Everybody say ginoskos. Say it with me. Ginoskos. Say it again. Ginoskos. Experiential knowledge. The Apostle Paul is crying out these words in Philippians 3. Verse 10, the Amplified Version is reading it like this, and the Spirit of God is urging us in the same way that I may know Jesus experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him. How do you become more thoroughly acquainted with Jesus? By being in the Word of God in the Bible every day. By inclining yourself to the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, knowledge, and wisdom from the heavenly realms. Amen? To show you the realities of the heavenly realm as it relates to what's going on in your life. Amen? Understanding the remarkable wonders of His person more completely. And in that same way, experience the overcoming power of His resurrection now in this life. Amen? If we should die before we're raptured, you don't have to wait for the resurrection of the dead to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. Amen? He's made that resurrection power available to us now in this life. The overcoming power of Jesus' resurrection is available to us now in this life through the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Amen? So that in the same way we would experience the power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in a true believer's life. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, more challenging point, that I may share the fellowship of His sufferings. Ooh. There's places in the Scriptures that tell us that when we're going through some God-appointed sufferings, how many of you here, since you've come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and as best you can understand, you're in God's will for your life, and you've experienced some sufferings. Can anybody lift a hand with me and say, I've experienced some sufferings right in the middle of God's will for my life? The Apostle Paul was right in the middle of God's will for his life, and he experienced many sufferings for the sake of Christ. Amen? For the sake of doing what Jesus Christ called him to do. He experienced many sufferings, but he was operating in the overcoming power of Jesus' resurrection to overcome those sufferings. Amen? And he prays for that in Philippians 3:10, that I may share in the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings, so that I can be continually conformed inwardly into his likeness. Amen? And if need be, even dying as he did for the Father's greater purposes, according to the Father's perfect will for my life. Amen? There are believers in other parts of the world that are literally dying for the sake of living for Jesus. And they're put at the crossroads every day of their lives. Renounce Jesus, or we're going to kill you. And they say, kill me. In Jesus' name. Think about it. How willing would we be to say that at that crossroads of our lives? The Spirit of God is stirring to motivate each of us afresh today that the primary goal and central focus of a life that is dedicated to Jesus is to glorify God in all that we would think and say and do, and to glorify God in what we would refrain from thinking. Are you taking captive your thoughts in obedience to Christ? Or are you letting the thoughts that the enemy's putting in your mind, are you letting your mind run wild with the thoughts that the enemy's putting in your mind? Or are you taking captive your thoughts in obedience to Christ? It's a discipline. Because Satan is prowling around, even the life of a believer, to try to infiltrate into your mind. He knows he can't take your salvation away from you, but he's going to try to rob you of as much as he can in this life. And he does that by way of putting certain thoughts and impressions in your mind to see what you do with it. Because he watches what you do, and he listens to what you say, and that's how he strategizes to rob you. He sees what your vulnerabilities are. And he sees how far you're going to go with the thoughts that he'll put in your mind, as subtle and as even acceptable as those thoughts might seem. A life dedicated to Jesus, catch this now, is not to be confused with a life dedicated to religion. There's a lot of religious people out there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of one denomination or another, the Pharisees in Jesus' day were religion-centered. They ate and drank and slept the law of God. They could spout off God's rules, codes, and judgments as fast as a child can recite the ABCs. But Jesus had harsh rebukes for them. Because, catch this now, they were law-centered without being love-centered. Amen? They were way over on this side of the law, and there was no grace that came in with the law. A religion-centered life strives for supremacy, strives for attention and glory based upon performance. It keeps score and judges itself and others by self-stylized standards, which is what the Pharisees were all about. And sad to say, what some born-again believers are all about in the church today. Self-stylized Christianity running rampant in the church. And God is calling it out because Jesus is coming back sooner than we think. Amen? Amen. And he's coming back for a church that's unified and a pure and spotless bride. And God is shaking out his church. A Christ-centered life rests in the finished work of Jesus on our behalf and a yearning for holiness. Are you yearning for holiness? As a means to staying close to him, to be holy as he is holy. Hebrews 12, verse 14 encourages us along these lines. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this: continually, continually, continually pursue peace with everyone, and your sanctification unto holiness. And catch this now, without which no one will ever see the Lord. Be holy as I am holy. At the core of a life that is dedicated to Jesus, catch this now, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. But rather, catch this now, it's a continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think and say and do. Our Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think and say and do. Not in an elf on the shelf way. Anybody here other than me seen the elf on the shelf yet? Maybe it's just me, but it's kind of strange, and I think it provokes some paranoia in the minds of some kids. I don't know enough about it, and I don't think I care to know. Anybody here?
Yeah.
Hear about the elf on the shelf?
Yeah.
Okay. But the fear of the Lord is the continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think and say and do, but in a way that those who are truly dedicated to Jesus, catch this now, have developed a tangible awareness of His presence. Amen? How many of you recognize that that's achievable by the Holy Spirit in you? We just need to incline ourselves to the tangible awareness of His presence. That's really what the essence of fear of the Lord is. Amen? Making decisions guided by the answer to this question, would this please the Lord? Avoiding the entrapments and worldly entanglements of Satan by evaluating our choices with this question in mind. If Jesus was literally and figuratively spending the day with me, would I do that? Would I watch that? Would I say that? Make no mistake about it, living with the fear of the Lord requires a conscious, ongoing commitment to it. And even so, there will be times when we fail in it, when we fall short in it. I know that I've fallen short in it many times. And at times, we're going to find ourselves stumbling into sin and making fleshly decisions in moments of weakness. But a life that is truly dedicated to Jesus cannot endure living in disharmony with God. Amen? And will quickly confess that sin and be restored to fellowship with Him. Amen? This dedication to living in continual harmony with God is a lifelong sanctification process. You're not who you were, and you're not yet who you're going to be. Amen? Aren't you glad for God's patient long-suffering with you? But there can be times, for one reason or another, that we find ourselves falling away from our dedication to Jesus. You haven't rejected Jesus. You've just allowed yourself to slip away from your dedication to Him in some area of your life or another. But God, in His unfailing love and patient long-suffering, is calling you to get back on track. Calling you to rededicate your life to Christ with a repentant recommitment to forsake your backslidden ways. And renew your dedication to follow more thoroughly in His ways. And catch this now, without abusing God's grace and mercy as a justification for continually falling away from Him. Has anybody here other than me come across believers like that? Professed believers using God's grace and mercy as a justification to continue in their sin? Be cautioned afresh today, saints of God. Don't let yourself get caught up in the cycle of habitual sin and rededication. Repeatedly falling away and returning to God, is not how a life dedicated to Jesus is supposed to be lived. Amen? A life dedicated to Jesus is meant to be an ongoing, proactive, progressive process, catch this now, that safeguards against falling away. Amen? Either way, rededicating your life to the Lord can certainly have some value at times. At times. Rededication can be considered among older children and young adults who have grown up in the church. Born-again believers who were saved at a young age and have come to a realization that their understanding of what it means to follow Jesus was incomplete. And so with a desire to consciously choose to submit to a newfound and deeper understanding of the gospel, they may rededicate themselves to Christ. Amen? I know all four of my kids came through that process. Make no mistake about it. Rededication can be a useful step in a believer's life. Whether because of a conviction about a sinful lifestyle or a greater understanding of the gift of Christ, we can choose to abandon our shallow devotion to Christ and recommit ourselves toward a deeper dedication to Him. Amen? Thank you, Lord.